Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Craig Kitterman.
How's it going, Craig? Oh, it's going great.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no worries. Always interested to find out, you know, new and cool things that are going on. And this one's actually really interesting as well because it's 100% Microsoft technology. And you've basically take the best of everything all around Microsoft and made it into a product.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. I think, you know, I don't know, for those of you who know me, like, I've been around doing Microsoft developer evangelism and marketing stuff for a long, long time. And I thought this is like a cool opportunity to like take the entire stack, all the tools, all this stuff, and like go try to make something real. And that's what we've done here.
Cool. So why don't you give yourself a brief introduction? Because you just talked about you've done evangelism and whatnot, but who is the real Craig Kitterman?
Well, I was a developer out of school, so like my heart and soul is with developers and writing applications and software. Like that's my passion. I've you know taken a slightly different path in my career, gone to business school and stuff like that, and became an evangelist and marketer. But I still live in the developer division marketing group, and I love spending time with devs and really just digging into cool technology. That's really what makes me tick.
Cool. So the product that you may hear is something called Straw. Do you want to give us a quick background about what you're thinking when you created Straw? Was it focused primarily on, hey, I want to go build something, or did you actually solve a business need with this as well?
I think it's both. Like, I'm always looking for a project. Like, I'm looking for, you know, a nail to hit with my, you know, my hammer. And so this was actually a cool opportunity. I was actually hanging out at home with a few of my friends and neighbors who actually also happened to be Microsoft employees, Ben Rudolph, Jason Wilmot, and Nate Gunderson, all folks that are also employees here. And we were arguing about college football, among other stupid things. And there was a debate about who was going to win one of the bowl games. And, you know, we all had our opinions, and we wanted to throw it out to our social circle and say, you know, amongst this set of people, like, who do we think is going to actually win? Yeah. And it sort of dawned on us, there's no really simple way to do that. Like, you can post it on Facebook or Twitter, or you can send an email or some text messages and get a bunch of random different responses that have a bunch of different shapes. There was no way to quickly and instantly get a quantifiable response from a set of people across whatever channels you choose. And so we're like, there's a real gap there, and there's a need for something like Straw.
Cool. So you kind of gave us a quick introduction about what Straw is. So it really sounds like it's a really easy way to pull your friends across different social media platforms.
That's right.
And then that all kind of feeds back into the application, and you get really cool visualization of that kind of information.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it can be across social, you know, social media. It can be over email. It can be over text. Like, there's so many different ways that you communicate with the people that you trust and care about. And sometimes I want to throw something out to the Twittersphere and say, hey, you know, general public, what do you think about this thing? And sometimes they may just want to bring in a set of trusted people, you know, around a particular type of decision. Like, if I'm going to shave my head, this was actually one of the first straw polls I did. It was like, I'm losing my hair. Is it time to do it? Is it time to shave my head? I threw that out on Facebook because I'm like, that's the right sort of scope for that question. Yep. And other things, I'm like, hey, I'm looking at a pickup truck, and I want, you know, F-150 or Silverado. Like, I sort of want the world, the internet, to weigh in on that and give me, you know, their opinion. So, you know, it sort of depends on what you're doing. My wife did one, of course, which is like, you know, which haircut should I get? Mm-hmm. You know, I looked like this at one time, and now I look like this, and what should I do? And she didn't want that out on the internet. She didn't want it on Facebook even. She wanted a very small set of her closest girlfriends to weigh in on that decision. And so she was able to create a poll and just send it over text message and then get that response back instantly. So nice. You really have the flexibility to sort of manage it however you see fit.
Cool. That's awesome. Yep. So I see that you have on your laptop here the website for Straw. Can you kind of take us through and tell us how people would go out and get the application?
Yeah, so the website is pullwithstraw.com. The app is called Straw. So if you're searching in any of the app stores, that's what it's going to be. We started out, of course, on Windows Phone with sort of our beta and prototype, and really got a lot of great feedback from the Windows fans and community there. But we've since rolled that out on the iOS store and on Google Play. Mm-hmm. And we basically sim ship all three platforms. And I'll talk a little bit about how we're doing that. But you go to pullwithstraw.com and you click any of these icons. We also recently rolled out a new web experience. So it's a browser-based version of the app, if you will. It's using all the same backend technologies, but exposing those through, you know, a AngularJS front end, effectively. So you can use the web app when you're at work or at your desktop, and then when you're on the go, you know, select your mobile app of choice.
Cool. Awesome. And then if I was to actually go and use the application, how easy would it be to go out and use it? Like, do you want to pull up the web app and kind of take a look at what that looks like?
Yeah, sure.
Give us a quick demo.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. So I'll just log into my account here with the web app. And I can sign up or sign in here, and I can just use a email password type of combo. If I want to authenticate with any of these authentication providers, thankfully I'm using Azure on the back end, so the app service, so this makes it very easy to use additional identity providers. So you can sort of log in however you see fit. I'm just going to log in with a username and password. And here's some recent polls that I did. So these are actually still running. So one of them is, if Donald Trump gets the GOP nomination, can he really win? This is a very interesting question that's on my mind, and I really don't know the answer. And so so I can see here in my polls that I've gotten 81 votes on this poll thus far. And then I can go click on that and actually see the breakdown of those votes. So right now, 58% of the people who have voted don't think he's got a shot. Even if he gets the GOP nomination, it's not looking good for the Donald. So I can just see that real time right here within the app. So I'm going to go ahead and go back. Another super important poll that I did a couple weeks ago, and this was based on some Facebook discussion around what is the right order in which one should watch Star Wars. So I put this out on Strawcast, and the formatting is a little weird because of these delimited lists here, but you can see that 43% of the people believe that we should watch it in this particular order, which you can see better on the tooltip, which is 4, 5, 2, and 3, and then 6, skipping over, I think, episode 1, which is the Jar Jar Binks. And people, you know, clearly have voted against Jar Jar in this scenario. So
I think this is actually really cool, because we actually have this question come up in our team an awful lot, is trying to figure out what order we should watch Star Wars in. And that is a very popular vote, skipping over episode 1. I myself enjoy watching all of the movies, so I'd probably be in that pink category. I'm not necessarily one to watch them all in order, but it's really interesting to see the different ways that people like. And it's really, really interesting is that it doesn't really matter what order you watch them in. There's still a lot of stuff that crosses through each one of them that you don't necessarily have to watch them in the quote-unquote proper order.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So that's a fun debate. There's no right or wrong answer there, but you know, the internet has spoken, so I tend to follow what they said. So just another really quickly here, and then we'll get into kind of the technology piece of it. The other thing that we have here is something called Strawcast, which is an important construct because, you know, as I mentioned, you can ask questions of your network, and you know, if you want to ask the world, you might put something on Twitter. Well, most of us don't have thousands of Twitter followers, and the reality is you're not going to get a whole bunch of votes unless you have thousands of Twitter followers. If you just throw something up on Twitter, you know, you may get a handful, a dozen here or there. And we did a lot of research in the early stages of the product to sort of understand how many followers do you need to get a certain number of votes. And what we realized is that the average person who wants to ask the world needs a better mechanism to do that. So we invented Strawcast, and that basically allows you to broadcast a poll into the Straw network. So anyone who's using the app will get this in their Strawcast feed. And they can filter by topics they're interested in, sports or food or whatever, and just respond to sort of polls in that domain. And this gets you the ability to reach a lot more people and get much more engagement with your poll.
Cool. So does this work with push notification? Like, if I had Strawcast, could I turn on a push notification anytime there was a new topic that came out?
It does not, and I could tell you would not want that. I mean, your phone would be blowing up. But what we do have is a notification such that if you vote on a poll, so if I go and I vote on this poll, which is the best university in Texas, I really don't have a dog in this fight, but I'm going to just vote for Texas Tech for illustrative purposes. So right now, U of T is winning 50% of the vote. If I'm really interested in this particular poll and I want to see the outcome, like when this thing actually expires, I want to see the final results. What I can do in the mobile app, it's not available here in the web client yet, is I can actually favorite that. So there's a little heart icon in the bottom. You just tap that. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you'll get a notification when that poll actually closes and you'll have the opportunity to go in and see the final results. You also have a little favorites tab that you can go and see the progress of those polls as they're tracking.
Cool.
So there's a lot of different ways to sort of keep tabs on the things you're interested in within Strawcast.
Cool. So now we have a kind of understanding of what Straw is and how I can use it and everything. Let's dig into the technologies a little bit. What all did you use here? And let's start maybe from the actual like application UI layer.
Yep.
All the way out to the hosting and everything.
Yep. So we started for it was mobile first application. So we started like I mentioned before with Windows Phone. The original version was built with the XAML Windows Phone tools for Windows Phone 8, and we soon realized, hey, we really want to build this across platform. We want to be able to leverage, you know, sort of our knowledge and expertise, and I'm kind of the techie guy of the four of us that are working on this project. And so for me, that was C# and .NET.
Yep.
And so we looked across, you know, what do we have? What do we have in terms of tools? We have the Cordova tools for doing HTML and JavaScript and using Visual Studio to compile, applications across platforms. And then we have, of course, the Xamarin tools to plug into Visual Studio again, but in this case, create native applications, but take advantage of that C# and .NET knowledge and skills that I had. And so that felt like a more natural fit for this project. So we did, in fact, use Xamarin. And we built a portable class library such that, the vast majority of the business logic and the pieces of the app that are actually communicating with the cloud, those are all in this PCL library as such that they can be shared by all three client applications. So our iOS, Android, and Windows Phone app all use that same shared PCL. So, I mean, like maybe 70 to 80% of the code is shared in that PCL.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So really, like just in terms of like bang for your buck, it's a pretty awesome way to go and really extend the reach of your app.
Cool. And then on the back end, you said that you're using App Service. Now, do you take advantage of multiple parts of App Service? Because you do have mobile apps.
Yep.
So did you take advantage of the mobile app platform, or did you build out more of your own API within a web app?
Yeah, so we were actually using mobile service before. So now, yeah, it's becoming part of the App Service mobile apps. But we have taken advantage of mobile service. We built the web API using the .NET backend. Mm-hmm. So I know there you have an option of Node or .NET, of course, again. I'm a .NET guy at heart, learning Node and other things, but .NET. So we did .NET web API there, ASP.NET web API, which has been fantastic. And then for this UI, so what you're looking at here, this web UI is also running in a web app, an app service. Also, our marketing website, pollwithstraw.com, is running on a WordPress instance, also in a web app on app service. So we really are taking advantage of sort of the breadth of different things that you can do inside of app service using, obviously a lot of the authentication providers, push notifications, and all those things were so easy to do. And I know it sounds like I'm a shill in this case, but like really we put this thing together in a few months and there's just absolutely no way we could have done that without something like App Service to just stand up those things. I don't know anything about the way Google Authentication works, but my app has it and it's just awesome.
Cool. So when you're going and using App Service, you mentioned there's a WordPress site. Did you use like just the gallery WordPress? Did you notice the difference between a scalable WordPress and just the regular one?
Honestly, we're just using the gallery WordPress and the MySQL database from ClearDB, and so far that's been totally sufficient for our needs. I haven't even explored like what other options are because I haven't even hit any kind of scalability limit yet with that instance.
Cool.
So I need to get up to speed on other options there just in case, but for now it seems to be sufficient for what we're doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, do you take advantage of any other platform features? Like, are you using continuous integration as part of your whole web API deployment story? Anything along those lines?
Yeah. So in fact, one of the products that I'm responsible for from a marketing point of view is Visual Studio Online. So again, I'm like, I need to be, I love Visual Studio Online, and I need to be, you know, deep in this thing to really understand the ins and outs. And so we did. We set up continuous integration for our web app. We are also now have continuous build and continuous deployment for our mobile apps for Windows Phone and for Android. We're working on getting the iOS stood up. So every time a check-in comes in for the web app, it actually does a build and it kicks it out to a staging slot in Azure, which is awesome because then we can go do our smoke tests, run everything, and then you know flip-flop that into production. And it just makes everything so branded simple, and VSO sort of enables us to do that in a seamless way.
That was something that was interesting to me is I use VSO, but I've never really gone into the build. Like the majority of the time that I'm in VSO, it's like my work items or just the repository.
Right.
And I never really clicked into build. And then about last week or 2 weeks ago, Chuck was on the show.
Okay.
And he was like, oh yeah, so let's go in and create a build. And I start looking down the list and I'm like, wait, there's an Android guy there, what's the deal with that? He's like, oh yeah, so we can actually go and take your Android or iOS apps,
yep,
and build them out on here, and then you know you can run your unit tests or anything against it, and everything's all in VSO. And I'm like, that's really quite brilliant.
Yep.
So it is kind of, it has become that kind of one-stop shop where you can go in and do everything.
It is incredible. I mean, all the new build tasks, now is the time to go get excited and play with the build, because like you said, all those new build tasks, you know, grunt and gulp and all these things that like people are surprised to see there. And it just makes everything so much easier. And I mean, even just little things like we're using Xamarin, but we're building Android. So there's a build task for that. Mm-hmm. There's a Xamarin license validation build task. So you just drag and drop these things in and just put in, you know, all the details, and you do it one time.
Yeah.
And then it just, everything just works. And it's really, really slick.
And for the people that, I mean, if you've used just build agents in general in Visual Studio before, it used to run off of XAML. And, you know, if you ever really wanted to change anything, there was a designer there, but for the most part, you know, you'd go in and hand edit code and
right,
all that kind of stuff. And they've done a fantastic job in VSO to make it very simple just to go in and drop in these build tasks. Like, literally, like, I know that there's no XAML in the background anymore, but I know that anything that I need to do is going to be one simple intuitive click away, and they've done a great job of keeping everything really concise, so you don't have thousands of options.
Right.
It's like, no, here's, you know, this little build step, add in your license key, this little build step is, we're going to build it, where do you want it dropped?
Yep.
And just that, like, I was very impressed with how simplistic it really is. And it sounds like it's working really well for you because
yep,
you're running basically your whole product off of VSO.
Exactly. And it's super flexible, too. So even when you need something that's sort of outside the bounds of one of these predefined build tasks, you have PowerShell script you can drop in there. There's an object for that. There's a, you know, a curl object if you need to push something up to an API. Like, all that stuff is there, and you just, you know, drag these things in and put them in the right order and set the parameters, and off you go. So it definitely makes life easier for us.
Cool.
Yep.
That's really exciting. I mean, this app looks incredible. Do you think we can poll our viewers?
Let's try it.
Excellent.
Let's see what we can do. Let's go back here. I'm going to create a new poll. What should we talk about?
I think we should ask, what's the coolest service in Azure?
Is the coolest Azure service for developers?
Sure.
We don't care about other audiences. Joking. All right. What are the contenders?
Well, I mean, app service needs to be in there.
App service for Shiz.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Let's say virtual machines. Machine learning.
Oh, that's a beauty.
Yeah, that's going to get a lot of votes.
One more?
Yeah, let's do, should we do HD Insight?
Cool.
There we go.
All right, and since this is a pretty scoped poll, I think we'll just drop the link in here somewhere rather than putting it on Strawcast. And let's make this thing last for the month.
Cool.
So we'll go ahead and say create. And I get to send, I get to decide where I'm going to send it. I'm going to go ahead and stick it out on Twitter. And just so everyone knows, there's a couple different options here. You can copy the poll link if you want to put it in anything that we haven't thought of.
Yep.
There's also an embed code here. So if you've got a blog or a website and you want to actually embed that poll right in there, it's super simple. You just click the embed tab here and copy that HTML and you off you go.
That's cool.
So there we go. So I'll be tracking this.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, I mean, this is incredible. It's nice to see that you could go just have a really interesting idea with a couple of friends on your couch one day and pull it all together. And you said a couple of, like a month or
a no, a few months. Yeah, it definitely took us a few months. But I mean, if you think about, you know, the back end, the database, the cloud services, the, you know, three mobile clients, a web client. We also have some other stuff going on in the back end that we're actually using machine learning on. So, I mean, there's so many different components to that. But again, like each one being so, you know, so much work in and of itself, if you had to go do all that on your own, but just having those finished services ready to go, like made it just super, super easy.
Yeah. And I mean, this was something that you did in your spare time. So it's not like you're spending, you know, eight to
that's a good point.
12 hours
that's
a day.
That's a good point.
You know, you have a few hours a night. So, I mean, I think that's really awesome to see that you've built out three mobile clients, a web interface. You've probably learned quite a bit.
Totally.
Doing each of those, because there's a little bit of, there's a nuance between all of them. And then pulling all of that together in VSO and delivering out to the cloud, that's really quite awesome. So
cool.
Thanks for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And then hopefully everyone out there goes and takes a look at Straw and starts pulling their friends, because I mean they got to ask what's the coolest Azure service as well, right?
Gotta know.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you all joining us out here, and hopefully we'll see you next time here on Webcams TV.